Since Gaura Purnima is approaching, I will speak something about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his teachings. And I was also asked to speak something about preaching in Russia, so I may speak something in this regard as well. I will chant the second verse from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, from Mangala Charan. It's a famous verse. It's verse number 2. Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya.
Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya.
Nityananda Sahodito.
Nityananda Sahodito.
Gauradaya Pushpavanto.
Gauradaya Pushpavanto.
Chitrasandau Tamonodau.
Chitrasandau Tamonodau.
Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya.
Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya.
Nityananda Sahodito.
Nityananda Sahodito.
Gauradaya Pushpavanto.
Gauradaya Pushpavanto.
Chitrasandau Tamonodo.
Chitrasandau Tamonodo.
Vande.
Vande.
I offer respectful obeisances. Shri Krishna Chaitanya, to Lord Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Nityananda, and to Lord Nityananda, Saha Udito, simultaneously arising, Gaura Udaye, on the eastern horizon of Gaura. Pushpavanta, the sun and moon together. Chitra,
wonderful.
Shamda,
bestowing benediction.
Tamahnodo,
dissipating darkness.
Translation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Gaura to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. So I'll speak on this verse. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Vishatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Ajanulambita bhujau kanaka vadato sankirtanai kapitaro kamalaya taksha vishvambaro dvijavaro yugadharma palo vande jagat priyakaro karuna avataro Yantah pravishya mama vachimamam prasuptam sanjeevayate kila shakti darasvanamna anyam shahasta charana shravanat vagadim pranannamo bhagavate purushaya tuvyam. Hare Krishna. I am very honored to speak in front of all of you. And I will try to say something to purify my heart and perhaps to help you in your spiritual journey. As you know, we are followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as Srila Narottam Das Thakur sings in this bhajan, which we chanted together, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, Daya Kora Mori, Toma Bina Kedo Yalo, Jagata Samsari. There is no one more merciful in this whole world than you. And this is not just beautiful, sentimental words. To follow Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the path of pure devotion which he indicated and pointed out, we have to really understand how he is the most merciful and what he gives to us to bestow the benediction upon us all, as Srila Prabhupada translates this verse. We are living in the land of India where there is no scarcity of gods. There are many gods here. And everyone has some claims to be the most merciful and to be the most easily approachable. In fact, just across the street from our temple, there is another temple, and I, with some curiosity, was studying, you know, the devatas were there, you know, everyone is there. Satya Sai Baba, sorry, Shirdi Baba is there, and Shiva is there, and Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman is there, and Parvati is there, and Vishwarup is there, and Navagraha is there, just in case. To be nicely protected, everyone is there. You can worship any one of them, every one of them, none of them, it doesn't matter so much. So in this land of India or Bharat, it's sometimes difficult and bewildering. So many different spiritual paths, different spiritual practices are developed in this land. And there is a fierce competition between them sometimes. Everyone is trying to claim that this is the best one. So, is it just another one exotic kind of path which was developed some 100 years ago in Bengal, or is it something different? So I will try to speak something about the uniqueness of this path and the uniqueness of the gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to all of us. It is true that there are many paths. It is true that there are many saintly people. It is true that all of them speak something which is beneficial. There is no doubt about it. Every one of them, without any exception, I mean, maybe some rare exceptions are there, but ultimately you can get something beneficial from them. But here we are who are claiming that the most merciful manifestation of God have come 500 years back in the land of Gaudadesh in Bengal as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he showed the path of pure love, and as it is said here, that simultaneously Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Prabhu Nityananda have arisen on the eastern horizon of Gaudadesh. Let's follow the indications of this verse, trying to understand what have they brought with them. Sri Krishna Chaitanya as the very name of this particular great personality indicates, is somebody who is full of consciousness. Chaitanya means consciousness. Chaitanya means life. Chaitanya, from Sanskrit word chetana, chetana means our consciousness or our ability to interact with this world. And Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, is somebody who is full of this consciousness. If we study ourselves, we also have chetana, and we also have Chaitanya, living force. Srila Prabhupada translates this word, Chaitanya, as living force, or as the very lakshana, or sign, manifestation of life. Whatever manifestation of life is there, life means consciousness. And this living force or consciousness within us is somewhat suppressed. If we look around us, we will see different manifestations and different grades of consciousness. Little bugs, they have consciousness. If you try, little fly or mosquito have consciousness. If you try to kill this mosquito, mosquito is really not a very significant creature. But he will run for his life. He really feels that it's important for him to live. We don't feel the same way about him. It means that he has consciousness. It means that some life is there, and life means that there is some importance there. His consciousness is really not manifested or developed in a very significant way. And trees have consciousness, and you know, bugs and animals have consciousness. And ultimately, when it comes to human beings, the consciousness manifested in the most profound way in the human beings. But when we look at the human beings, we will also see that there are gradations of consciousness. And most of human beings, they again hardly manifest very developed consciousness. They sleep. They like to sleep. Every one of us like to sleep. Especially when the alarm clock goes off. We really can feel the very urgent need to sleep little more. And we can see that, you know, sometimes people, when they lose the meaning of their life, they just want to feel asleep. Sometimes when people get depression, when they're depressed in this state of consciousness, they just don't want to live, they want to sleep. I know people, it's not really funny, people who are in these heavy cases of depression, they get up in the morning and they just don't want to exist. Again, because their consciousness is somewhat depressed or suppressed. In a normal state, in a pure state, in a real state, consciousness wants to live. We know when our consciousness is elevated, we are full of energy and we want to do something and we want to manifest our consciousness and our love and we want to do something with it. But when it's suppressed, you know, we just want to sleep. And that's called ignorance. So, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, as the very name indicates, is the highest manifestation of consciousness. It's a certain stage of consciousness when the living being is full of consciousness of God. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, it's not only the name of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's also indication of his mission. He came to wake us up. If we look at us. You know, I know about myself. We are, and especially if we look back in our life, which was there before we met with the spiritual practice, we could see that it was the life in a half-dreaming state. We were half asleep. We were doing something automatically. We were trying to enjoy, but more or less automatically, on the basis of our instincts. I like this, I don't like this. This is not real human consciousness. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he comes, he shows us what it means to be conscious, what it means to live, what it means to develop consciousness to the highest degree. If you look at him, he hardly slept. We know when people practice some sadhana, some spiritual practice, one of the results, one of the side effects of spiritual practice is that they start sleep less and less and less. Why? Because consciousness starts blossoming. When there is a heavy influence of ignorance, then we want to sleep more and more and more. 12 hours, 16 hours. I know people who really sleep for a long time. But one of the manifestations of spiritual practice, whatever tradition you take, we are not sectarian here. So whatever tradition you take, you will see that those people who really awaken their consciousness, they sleep less. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he practically didn't sleep. In the highest, you know, when he started this Sankirtana movement, they were doing, once, there is a story in Chaitanya Bhagavata, then once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they started this kirtans at night. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started his kirtans in Shivas Pandit's house, and it was night kirtans, so that no strangers would be part of these kirtans. And they were chanting the whole night. And the whole night their state of consciousness was so elevated that they didn't even think about sleep. They were so happy and so ecstatic. They were chanting and chanting and chanting, and more they were chanting, more they were wanted to chant. And then, of course, you know, when the sun would arise, they would go home. But once somebody said, why should we go home? Why don't we continue? What is the use of going home? It's so nice. They were chanting this wonderful mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And they were becoming more and more ecstatic. And then once they decided not to go home, they say that for 1 year they didn't sleep. It may seem little exaggeration. Of course, in India everyone is more or less used to exaggerations. but it's a fact. When you achieve certain stage of spiritual development, then you don't feel like sleeping. Like Arjuna in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he is called Gudakesh. And Gudakesh means one who has conquered sleep. There is a story about this in Mahabharata, I will not go into this detail, but Arjuna was somebody who also practically didn't sleep, and Prabhupada explains that one who has conquered sleep means one who has conquered ignorance. Avidya or ignorance is the disease of a living entity. And when by the means of spiritual practice we conquer this avidya, then the need to sleep naturally vanishes, becomes less and less and less. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if we see at his life, he had hardly slept. And he was always conscious about Krishna. And this consciousness was not a stale or static consciousness. This consciousness was completely new, Navanavarasa. He was experiencing this newest and newest and newest emotions of very high caliber to show what it means to be conscious. Again, as I said, his very name indicates his mission. His mission is to bring Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada called our movement Krishna consciousness because he wanted to indicate the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is to develop such an elevated state of consciousness where we constantly feel presence of God in our life. And by feeling this presence of God in our life, we feel the constant reciprocation with God. Ultimately, we all want what? We all want relationship. Just imagine that you're alone somewhere in a Nicobar island. And nobody is there. What will you do? There's nothing to do there. There may be some bananas there, you know. But ultimately, you will be unhappy. Because there is a very deep need of a living entity to have relationship, to have love, to associate with others, to do something for others. We are not living for ourselves. If we try to live for ourselves, the life is totally meaningless. The meaning of life is to have love, is to feel love, is to feel needed, is to feel that, you know, we are doing something good for others. And ultimately, this reciprocation which we are looking for culminates in our ability to reciprocate with God. When people don't have anyone to reciprocate with, to relate with, to love, to serve, then they, you know, they get some dog. And they try to serve dog. And dog is not so bad. Sometimes they're so lonely that even dog, you know, they have some plants and they, you know, they water some plants. Of course, nowadays in India it's a fashionable thing to have a dog. You know, I see all these poor dogs exported from Europe, you know, in hot India. But it's really, it only indicates one thing, that we need relationship. If you lack some human relationship, you will try to seek relationship with dog, with plants, with anyone, with practically anyone, to feel that you have some relationship. But in the ultimate case, if we develop this need for relationship, we understand that the only one who can fulfill our need for relationship or for love is God. So what the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya indicates, it indicates the state of consciousness where the living entity feels reciprocation with God 24 hours a day. He feels this love which is coming from God. Everyone, whatever religion you take, they will tell God is love. But Krishna consciousness teaches you how to feel this love 24 hours a day. It's not just a nice saying in a book, God is love. Yes, Jesus loves you. We all know this. But it's just a cheap saying. If you don't really experience this love in reality, really feel that God is there with you, that He is every moment of your life next to you, He is within your heart. He is dealing with you. That you are needed to Him and He is needed to you. Unless you experience this, this is just cheap thing. So what Sri Krishna Chaitanya, the very name indicates is this very state of consciousness, where the living force is developed to this extent when it can reciprocate or relate with its own source, God, 24 hours a day, and feel love and give love and experience this love all the time. So he is this manifestation of God who brought this, and as explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when he came, because his mission was so profound, he didn't come alone. There is one very interesting thing which I wanted to tell you, which perhaps you know or may not know, or may not understand fully, that we always say God is one, right? God is one. All religions say God is one, or ultimate reality is one. Anyone who is sane can understand this. That the source should be one, you know, there cannot be two sources, because otherwise there will be very difficult conflict situation between the two sources. You know, there should be only one cause of all causes. It's God. He's one. It is said in Rig Veda. In Rig Veda, even though there are so many hymns to many different manifestations of God, it is said that Ekam Sat, Vipra Bahudavananti. Different brainy people speak about Him in different ways. But ultimate reality is one. But when we speak about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we say that, you know, here it is said that Nityananda Sahodito, Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito. There is Nityananda, and then we know there is Advaita. And then we know there is Gadadhar, and then there we know Sri Vas Pandit, and we say this is God. We say ultimate reality is one. How is this one? It is five. So is it one or it is five? It is one. But this one reality manifested itself in five features. Why? Because of the urgency and the importance of the mission. You know, sometimes God comes as one. We know that there are many avatars, many lila avatars who come. And for example, when He comes as Matsya avatar, He's one. There is no Lakshmi with Him, He's just one big fish. Maybe there is some she fish near Him, I don't know. But Lakshmi in the form of fish, I don't know. But what I want to say is that here it is said, Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito. Ultimately, it is explained by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami that this one reality comes in five features because of this reason, because of the importance of the mission. We know there is a very simple example to understand this. Sometimes the president of a country goes to another country with a visit. And if the visit is not very important, he may go alone. But if there is a real important visit and he has to sign so many agreements with another country, does he come alone? No. He comes, the president comes with his vice president, with prime minister, with so many secretaries and with his wife. Right? So, it's exactly what happened when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this world. He didn't come alone. He came with his prime minister, with his vice president. His vice president is Nityananda Prabhu. He is God, and his second self is Nityananda Prabhu. We know that there is Vilas Rupa, and Vilas Rupa basically means second self of God. Alter ego in Latin. It's basically like there is president and vice president, it's the same function. But because it's so important, the message which he brings, the mission which he comes for is so important, therefore he comes with his vice president. And he comes with his minister, prime minister. Prime minister means avatar, Advaita Prabhu, Bhakta avatar. He comes with his prime minister who deals with all these matters, and he comes with all his energies and personal secretaries, Shaktis, and he comes with his wife. You know, he came with all these manifestations. Why? Because the mission which he brought is so important. It's not just a casual visit, it's not just a formal visit. He came to give something which nobody else have given for a long time. It is the claim of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, and our line of spiritual practice is that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came to give something which nobody has given for a long, long, long period of time. Anarpita Charim Charat Karuna Avatirna Kalo. He's coming in this Kali Yuga. Anarpita Charim Charat Karuna Avatirna. He is Karuna Avatar. He is the manifestation of mercy to give something which has not been given for a long time. Anarpita. Anarpita was not given before him. For a long time, Chirat. So, what is this which he comes to give, which nobody else before him was giving? That is something very unique, pure love. As I said before, we all have this very important need for love. And everyone knows this. And when there is some spiritual practice, they all talk about love. But nobody else, before or after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, gave love which is so extremely, unbelievably pure. And that we have to understand. That we really have to understand. Because so many saints are there. You know, we are living in Maharashtra. You are living in Maharashtra. I am living in Russia. I am not living in Maharashtra. I am living in Ugra Rashtra. And there are so many saints here. Tukaram is here, right? He's a great saint, great bhakta. Janeshwar is here, so many Ekanath is here. No, they all came. But how it is it a justified claim that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give something unique? And I will try to say a few words because it is very important to understand. What he came to give, everyone else was trying to give, but nobody was able to give. This fullest, this most important and urgent need which is there in human being, and that's a fact, that's a psychological fact. There is a very deep need for love, for appreciation. Everyone is trying to get, everyone is trying to give. We, in our own way, we are trying to give it. You know, when we see some small children, we're trying to give them some little love or encouragement. When the young boy meets with a young girl and he falls in love with her, you know, he's trying to give her some love and get some love in return. When you know, when the children are there, little babies, sons and daughters, we're trying to give them love or get some love. And this exchange or reciprocation is always there. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came, he said that This is all ultimately cheating. It is said here that Chitral. First thing about them, he said, there's Nityananda and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nityananda means the eternal bliss. He is the alter ego of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God himself, is this highest manifestations of consciousness. They together came in the eastern horizon of Gauda. And this name Gauda, Gauda Desh, is very important. All other great acharyas like Madhvacharya, Nimbarkacharya, even Shankaracharya and Ramanujacharya, they all were born in Dravida Desh. The only great acharya who was born in Gauda Desh was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Gauda, the very name Gauda means what? It's from the name Gur, right? You know what Gur is. Gur means sugar. Jagri, yes. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was born in this land of sugar. Because ultimately, he wanted to bring the ultimate sweetness in our life. And when he came, and when he saw different spiritual practices which are there, he said, this is all cheating. That all our attempts to give love and to get love based on a cheating propensity, which is also very deep in our heart. Because when we try to love somebody, we first and foremost think what we will get in return. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and said, this is not love, this is business. You may call it love to sell it better. No, it's just a nice package with a nice name on it, love. Cost 100 rupees. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he following Srimad Bhagavatam, the dictum of Srimad Bhagavatam, he said that dharma, artha, kama, and even moksha is all kaitava. It's all cheating. He said it's all cheating. It's all based on selfish desire, and ultimately there is selfishness which is not eradicated from the heart. He came and said, you will not be satisfied if you try to cheat. Cheating and love is something completely contradictory. If you love somebody, you will not cheat. And if you try to cheat somebody, it means you don't love him. And when we try to establish our relationship with God on a cheating premises, on a cheating platform, it ultimately deprives us of the highest experience of love. We may get something. We definitely get something. All these people who follow Dharma, they get something. All these people, they get Artha in return and so many other things and Moksha. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, it's all cheating, cheating, cheating. He said that the real love is the love which is not really expecting anything. And he said, this manifestation of this love, the highest manifestation of this love is explained in this 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he quoted this second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Dharma Kaitava Projita Paramonir Matsaranam Satam. And of course, we cannot get too much into it, but what I want to say here is that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and this you will not find anywhere, because you may go somewhere in any other, you know, past religion, religious organization, movement, but nowhere you will find such a minute analysis of different mixtures which ultimately deprive us the experience of pure love. You know, if you go to Christianity, in Christianity they say, please pray to God and He will give you bread. And He will give you bread, no problem. He has a lot of bread there. He has a big chapati machine in heaven to give to everyone. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Nadanam na janam na sundarim kavitam vajagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmani shvare bhavatat bhakti rahai dukitvai. He said, if you want to get anything else but pure love, you're trying to cheat God, and in return God will cheat you. Because He is the greatest cheater. If you try to cheat Him, you will be cheated. Ultimately, that's what will happen with you. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if you want to establish a relationship with God, this should be completely 100% pure. I want to do something for you, because I am a part of you. The very destination of part is to serve the whole. This is the definition of part. Parartha Shesha. Parartha Shesha. Jaimini and his Jaimini Sutras, Karma Mimamsa Sutras, he says, you know, what is the definition of part? Part is only useful as long as it serves the whole. And when the part is serving the part is happy, the whole is happy. When the part is trying to live independently, the part is unhappy and the whole is unhappy. You have your nice hairs. And while they are in the head, they are very nice. But if you take these hairs and put them aside, you know, they are nice while they are there. Outside of the head, they look disgusting. You know, if the head is in the hair, everyone is, you know, liking the head and putting shampoo and, you know. But if the same hair is there in a soup, will you say such a nice hair? No, it will be totally ridiculous. Place for the hair. You know, if the part is not serving the whole, it's useless. It's absolutely useless. It becomes useless. It loses its importance. It loses its real meaning. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came, he said that everyone is trying to reconnect himself with God. Everyone is trying to somehow or other serve God. But somehow or other, everyone is trying to cheat God. Because it's a good deal, you know. We know dealing with God is good. You put some, you know, 5 rupees and you get 500 in return. Maybe not immediately, maybe not in this life, but they say it's a good investment. You give something little to Him. After all, God doesn't need anything, right? You know, you just, you know, He says, "Patram puspam palam toya." Give me one flower. You know, give me just one flower, and I'll give you many flowers. But it's cheating. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and he said, "It's all cheating. You're all trying to cheat God, and therefore, ultimately, you feel frustrated and cheated." If we look around us, we will see that this frustration and depression and despondency, dejection is the feeling which everyone in the material world has. Everyone is more or less dejected. Everyone is more or less depressed. And the more Kali Yuga progresses, the more everyone is depressed because of the progress of humanity. Why? Because the cheating propensities become stronger and stronger and stronger. Therefore, what is said here, it is very interestingly said here. Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Godadesha Pushpavanto Chitra Shando Tamonado. It is said here that these two, sun and moon, simultaneously have arisen on the eastern horizon of the land of Gauda, the land of sweetness, to bring this ultimate sweetness into our life, to bring the ultimate bliss or ultimate pleasure in our life. And this is Chitra. Chitra means it's a miracle. Chitra means chamatkar. They have arisen on this eastern horizon together, because usually sun and moon don't arise together, right? When the sun arises, the moon sets down. And when the moon arises, the sun sets down. It just never happens. But interestingly enough, in Sanskrit, there is a word, Pushpavanto, right? It's here. Pushpavanto. Pushpavanto means sun and moon simultaneously. It's because in Sanskrit they know about Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Prabhu. Otherwise, why would you use this word? You never see sun and moon together. When the sun is there, moon is not there. When the moon is there, sun is not there. Only when Sri Chaitanya and Nityananda came, the sun and moon were together. So it is said here that this chitra, this miracle happened. And this miracle happened because they came together to give this something very important. And as Srila Prabhupada explains in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, they have arisen in the east, and that indicates that they will travel to the west. The most amazing miracle happened because even though they have arisen in the land of Gauda, now in America people worship Sri Chaitanya and Sri Nityananda. In Russia, people worship Sri Chaitanya and Nityananda. In the UK, people worship Sri Chaitanya and Nityananda together. Why? Because they brought something which nobody else brought. Like, there is great movement of Swaminarayan, they're building magnificent temples all over the world, 400 temples, beautiful temples. I spoke with them, very nice people, very clean, very, you know, great integrity. I spoke with them. I asked them, do you have, anyone who is not a Gujarati? And they said, yes, we have, in all our movement, we have two who are not Gujaratis. Something like this. They said, we have, in England, I was speaking, they have beautiful temple in England, Nisden, Swaminarayan temple. He said, yes, we have. He said, he was trying to remember, and he said, maybe two we have. somehow or other, what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave, it's completely, totally non-sectarian and universal. It's amazing, when Srila Prabhupada explained this in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, in Bhagavad Gita and in other literatures, in other books, it's amazing what the effect his books had. When we were distributing these books, sometimes I would get letters, and these letters, when I read these letters, my hairs would stand on end. I remember this letter very clearly. Once, it was long ago, some 15 years back or something, that BBT, Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, got a letter from one remote village in Siberia. Like this, Prabhu Mukundapad Prabhu, while introducing me, he said, he's a GBC for Siberia, to add glory to my title, because everyone, GBC for Siberia, it must be something really, really special. Anyway, so from some remote village, from Siberia, there was a letter. And people were writing, we read these books. And there are 15 devotees in our small village, and we all come together and we chant Hare Krishna together every evening. And we just don't know how to chant because there is no beads here. Can we send us beads? You know, in some remote village, people who, you know, for 70 years, for 70 plus years, Soviet Union was a completely atheistic country. People didn't believe in God whatsoever. From the young age, they would be preached that there is no God, there is no God, there is no God. And there was a very good proof for this. Gagarin, the first spaceman, would fly and he didn't see God there. So... it was very scientifically proven that there is no God. So for 70 plus years these people were learned everywhere. The propaganda was so heavy that there is no God, there is no God, there is no God. And all of a sudden in some remote village there are 15 devotees who believe in Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Why? Because what they brought is completely non-sectarian. It's not addressed, it's not whoever you are. You know, what they speak the truth. You don't have to believe in anything which is exotic. Whatever is there, you know, whatever Srila Prabhupada says, it's totally, completely universal and it's applicable to any human being. Any human being can relate to it. And any human being can understand that this is something which I was looking for my whole life. I remember another letter which one lady wrote to me. And this lady wrote to me, I'm reading Bhagavad Gita. And he said, I'm reading it for the fifth time in a row. I'm reading it again and again and again. And she said, I'm reading it and I'm shedding my tears. At every page when I read Bhagavad Gita, I cry and shed my tears. Why? Because I feel that every word in this book is true. And when I received this letter, I thought, my goodness, I'm reading Bhagavad Gita and I don't shed my tears. And this lady, you know, she reads this book and she has this feeling, I met with the truth. I met with something which I was looking for many, many years and perhaps many, many lifetimes. What is there in the teachings of Sri Chaitanya and Nityananda is something which is, you know, everyone is looking for. And everyone, when he reads about this, he has this feeling. So many times people also write or tell, you know, I know, they say, when I read this Bhagavad Gita, they said, you know, I knew it all the time, but I couldn't express it so nicely. Somehow or other, this author, he just somehow or other, he read my thoughts. I knew it. It's like this. It must be like this. It cannot be otherwise. It is like this. It is the truth. So, what is said here, that Chitra, Chitra, they created this miracle. This miracle of changing the lives of so many people. They came, and by the purity of this message, they changed the lives of so many people, and then Shamdo. What they give peace. It is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita that everyone else, they are sakale ashanta. They are ashanta. Why? Because no matter which path you take, whether it's karma or yoga or jnana, you will feel unfulfilled. Some desires will be there. Mukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Shakalaya Santa. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's very clearly said that all other people, whatever they pursue, they will not feel peace. Because the desires will be there and the desires will not be fulfilled ultimately. As Sachinanda Maharaj very beautifully once said, when we lose God, when we turn away from God, His place in our heart, He's in our heart, He's in the heart of every living entity. But when we say that God is not there, when we more or less drive away God, it creates some emptiness in our heart. The place which should be occupied by God in our heart becomes empty. He's not there, right? So there is some vacuum. And God is, he's big, right? In fact, He's unlimited. So the vacuum which is in our heart when God is not there is also unlimited. We try to fill this vacuum. We try to fill this vacuum by all means, fulfill this desire and that desire. I want this and I want that and I want car. I want, you know, Mercedes car. You know, some 20 years ago you can only have ambassador car, but now you may have Mercedes car or BMW car. And you think that by having Mercedes car, you fill up the vacuum in your heart. You know, first of all, Mercedes car will not drive into your heart. it will always remain outside of your heart. So it will not fulfill the need in the heart. No way. Vacuum will remain. The desires will remain. People are trying to fill this vacuum by all these material things. It's useless. It's completely futile attempt. All these endless desires are only there because there is a vacuum. And there is only one who can fill up this vacuum. And His name starts with K. Guess who it was? It's Krishna. And therefore it is said that they are giving peace. When the living entity encounters with these teachings or with this love of Lord Chaitanya, which Lord Chaitanya gives, he experiences complete peace. He feels that, you know, I came home. I came and I found something which I have been looking for a long time. I tell a little story. I have to finish, right? Okay. I'll finish this verse very soon and then I'll tell a little story. It's a story from Prabhupada's life. As you know, Prabhupada came to America and he was preaching to hippies. And hippies were special species of life. They were very young, idealistic, and totally bewildered, completely misled. And but they were looking for some spirituality, for some high ideals, some love. And there is a nice story. One young girl, she heard that one Indian Swami is preaching something very esoteric, some path. And she wanted to visit Srila Prabhupada. And she came during daytime. It was in San Francisco. She was a young, idealistic girl. She was looking for love. And Srila Prabhupada was sitting with his treasurer. And at that time, ISKCON was very poor movement, hardly few, you know, dollars coming in. And Prabhupada was very, you know, he was very particular. He would note down any expenses till the one, you know, paisa or even less. So he was going through the books with his treasurer, and he was asking, you know, what is this expense, you know, 50 cents, you know, why did you spend 50 cents? Couldn't you spend 20 cents for this? And what is this $1 expense? And they were going through this, and this girl, and when she came, Prabhupada said, just sit there, wait. And she was sitting for a long time, and she's listening, you know, they're going this 20 cents and 30 cents and $1 and $2 and $5 and again, you know, and she was, you know, she's becoming more and more impatient, more and more, and she's just, now she feels really, you know, something is wrong here, you know. I came to find some love, and there, you know, talking about 30 cents and money and this and that. You know, what did you purchase? Why did you pay so much? I don't know. So ultimately, she just exploded. She got up and she raised her hands high up and she started yelling, I came here to find love, to find God. Prabhupada looked at her very calmly and she said, sit down, you came to the right place. And she sat down. What I want to say, it's the right place. We came to the right place. And that's a miracle. As it is said here, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they created this miracle by giving this complete peace to everyone. This understanding that this is something which I have been looking for all the time. And the most amazing thing, this is the last thing which I will tell to finish this. Chitra Chando Tamonudo. And the last thing which is said there, and they dispel the ignorance in the hearts of living entities. And the most amazing thing about this whole thing is that as you notice here, while describing this avatar, amazing avatar of Lord Chaitanya, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he points out that they created miracle. They gave peace, complete satisfaction, and pleasure or ecstasy, feeling of ecstasy in the car. And only after that, tamonudo. So the most amazing thing which is there, because if you take any other spiritual path, whether it is yoga or jnana or something else, they will say you will not experience anything else before the ignorance within your heart is dissipated. First you have to really undergo very rigorous discipline, try to clean up all this ignorance which is there, do this, do that. And only after that you will get some anubhav, some real experience. But here it is very clearly said, shamdo tamonudo. They first give you this ecstasy. And then, after that, after some time, they may dispel the ignorance of your heart. They give it first the experience without asking anything. And everyone can testify this. Everyone can see that actually I didn't deserve anything, but all of a sudden I felt something which I never felt before. By chanting this Hare Krishna mantra, by associating, by listening. You know, so what is said here is that in this path of bhakti, of pure bhakti, which is given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, first you experience something, complete satisfaction, complete understanding that this is the real path. And then later, after so many years of practice, you may experience the complete purification of the heart. So all these experiences are given to you as some down payment. Something without anything from you. And we all have this experience. We all know that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives us something. And then, you know, if we try and practice, and then we will get much more, much deeper feeling and much deeper realizations. But first he gives, and then after some time the ignorance is being dispelled. And of course you can say so many things about this process of dispelling ignorance, but I already overstepped my time. So thank you very much for your attention. Thank you. Is there any questions? Yes.
Thank you so much for the wonderful class. I just wanted to know why the soul is called part and parcel. I understand part versus parcel.
Part and parcel is a set phrase in English, which means inseparable part. Part and parcel basically means that this part is always connected with the whole and is not capable of functioning outside of the whole. That's what part and parcel means. It means that it's not separable with the whole. Like there are maybe some parts which can, you know, which are not, you know, which can exist without connection with the whole. But Prabhupada, by using this phrase, he wants to stress this idea of eternal connection of the part with the whole. That's why living entity is called part and parcel. If you look in any phrase dictionary, you will see, if it's a good dictionary, you will see this part and parcel of this set phrase.
Why our soul is called conditional soul?
The soul is called conditional soul because it, being in this material world, it adopts the condition of external environment, and more or less it's like a chameleon. You know, a chameleon, if he crawls from, you know, he changes the color, right? If he's in a tree, he will be green. And if he's in a bark, you know, he will be brown. He's in a, you know, he just changes the color according to the environment. So the same exact same process is taking place with the soul. We can very much notice it ourselves. We adjust to the environment, and this adjustment to the environment we are doing by forgetting our eternal, unchangeable nature. We know that, you know, if you are in some environment, like in India, you behave in one way. And I have seen how Indians, when they move to Russia, like Indian students, they move to Russia, and they immediately adopt some Russian habits. They start drinking vodka and stuff like this. And you know, so many things may change. So this conditioned soul means that we are conditioned, we are depending on the external conditions. We are not really, so to speak, established in ourselves, in our unchangeable nature. And therefore we feel constantly, you know, this flux. Deep down, deeply within our consciousness, we feel that we are not changing. But at the same time, we are always a subject of all these external influences. And these external influences or conditions influence our decisions, influence our way of thinking, influence our, you know, way of life, and so on and so forth. So when somebody becomes free, Jivan Mukta, Jivan Mukta basically means that he is within this frame, body, and within this atmosphere, material atmosphere, but he is established in himself, in his own glory. Then he will not be, you know, so changeable, so to speak. Like we may notice that sometimes we kind of, you know, trying to please others. This is another manifestation of our conditioned nature. We try to please others. And, you know, to please others, we sometimes say something which is pleasing to them, which we don't necessarily believe in. But because we want to please him, we say something, and well, like this. And we go to some other environment, and we're completely different. We start behave in a different way because we want to please other people. And they expect something else from us. And if you do it too often, you ultimately become totally bewildered because you don't know what you are and what you believe in. You know perfectly well what other people believe in and what you have to, how you have to adopt to please them and to cater their needs and stuff like this. But sometimes we lose ourselves. And therefore the soul is called conditioned. When the soul is established in its eternal real nature, then he will be the same. Like Prabhupada, he came to America, he didn't change. Americans changed under his influence. He didn't change. When Prabhupada came to America, he first met with Swami Nikilananda. And this Swami Nikilananda, he wanted to teach him a lesson. He said, I have been preaching in this country for a long time, and I know. He said, Swamiji, if you want to preach in this country, you have to learn how to eat with fork and knife. And Prabhupada said, I came here not to learn how to eat with fork and knife. I came here to teach them how to eat with hand. So he didn't change. He was so firmly established in his, so it, you know, it doesn't matter for him. He was perfectly all right. He would, you know, no matter, ladies and gentlemen, whether he was eating with his hand, you know, which may be considered completely uncultured, but he was so firm in his internal beliefs that he was not a subject of all these influences. Did I understand this? So, did I explain?
I just want to know who is reacting according to the environment. Is it our soul or is it our
mind? It's mind. We act in this world through the medium of our mind. Because the mind is so flexible, so to speak, and so pliable, subject of all these influences, and the soul is unmovable. It is the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. It is said that akledayam, what is this, achalayam, sanatanam, what is this? It's immovable. It's unchangeable. Not really subject of all these things, but because in the material world the soul is very much dependent on the mind and more or less adopts the mind as its alter ego, you know, and depends on the mind, therefore it is called conditioned soul. The soul which is connected with the mind and dependent on the mind is called conditioned soul. The soul which is established in its own unchangeable nature is called the free soul, Jivan Mukta.
So one question.
Krishna
Maharaj said that no one can kill soul.
No one?
Nobody can kill soul.
Yeah, nobody can kill soul.
Okay, right? So when a person dies, when you go up, so how can Yamaraj punish soul? The soul can't be given any weapon. So how can Yamaraj punish any
soul? No, Yamaraj cannot punish soul. Yamaraj can only punish what happens. The soul leaves this body, this gross body, with the subtle body. And the punishment in the kingdom of Yamaraj is through the medium of subtle body. Because the soul is so much identify itself with the subtle body, then the sufferings of the subtle body, it considers his own sufferings. Now, Yamaraj is not punishing the soul, but the soul experiences this punishment. And it's not real. It's like, you know, if you dream. You dream and you may see so many horrible things, but, you know, ultimately nothing happens with you. You may cry in a dream and you may yell, and you know, but nothing happens with you. It's just some kind of experience on the level of your mind. So the same thing is happening during this punishment of Yamaraj. It's just experience on the level of the mind. But it's, you know, it's a good news, but at the same time, it doesn't make it any easier. Unless you realize yourself as a soul. Because you completely identify with this subtle matter, then all the sufferings which taking place in the subtle matter, in the mind, will be your sufferings. But if you disidentify or kind of realize your separate existence, then it will not bother you so much.
So one question, it's related to the Jesus. Jesus was a vegetarian or non-vegetarian?
Oh, there is a big debate. And some say when it is said that he was eating fish. So some people who are vegetarians, they say that it was not really fish, but I think he was eating fish. According to the customs of the... But, you know, there is a big debate. Maybe he was, you know... Some say that if you take the linguistically, the descriptions which are there in the New Testament and the Bible, then it's not so clear, and it's only translated as meat and fish. Because Western people, translators, they didn't have any, you know, other words for food, because they only eat meat, so they say he also eat meat. But the original word in Hebrew which is there is more generic, like, you know, food or something, but they translate it as meat. There is for sure John Baptist. He was vegetarian. There is a very clear indication that he was in the desert and he was only eating some honey and some fruits which are there, which were available there. And there is a movement there at that time, during Jesus Christ's time, of people who were following very strict discipline. They were all vegetarians, and some say they were called, I don't know how it is in English, some certain sects of Hinduism, yesays or something. So I'm not sure if I pronounced it properly, because I only read about this in Russian. So they were all vegetarians, and they were all following very strict and pure life and discipline. And some say that Jesus belonged to this sect, to this particular branch of Judaism, which was vegetarian. And there were some followers which were vegetarian. But it's a debate, you know, because modern Christians are mostly meat eaters. They will vehemently fight for Jesus Christ eating meat, you know. Let them believe it. They are free to believe it.
You said one more thing, that those who came before me, they are the thieves and robbers. What exactly the meaning is?
I am not in the position to interpret his words. I don't know what he meant, but basically, in the light of our lecture or class, we said that people often comes and they preach some sort of spirituality, but it's a mixed spirituality. And Jesus Christ, he gave rather pure form of relationship or bhakti or surrender to God. So he may mean, I'm not sure whether he meant this, but he may mean some false teachers who come in a guise, and it's a very common phenomenon. Spirituality is a very difficult subject matter, and so many people come in a guise and they teach something which is not completely pure. So perhaps he refers to these false gurus, false teachers who in some guise give something which is not.
How do you define the false prophet? I mean,
you know. How you define false? False is something which is based on selfishness. If there is any tinge of selfishness, including moksha, desire for moksha, for personal liberation, it's false. And if there is no tinge of selfishness, at least in the goal, we may have some other motivations or desires, but at least we have to be completely clear that this is our main goal. And this other subsidiary goal we may have, we may pursue them, but we have to understand that this will not make us happy and this is not the ultimate goal. So the false means that you don't understand, you mix ultimate goal with something which is not ultimate. And you don't give people ultimate goal. And in the guise of giving some spirituality, you give something which is second class. Do this, follow this rule, do this ritual, and you will become happy. Do this Shraddha ceremony, or this and that. It's like this, it's very simple. If you read some health magazine, you know, in health magazine there is an article about how lemons are good. And you read this article and you feel, lemons are so good. I will eat lemons. And then next day you read the same health magazine and there is an article about carrots. And it's glorified. Carrots are so good and carrots is the real path. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. And you feel, that's it, carrots. And the next day you read something about apples, and apples are so, but, you know, and then, but ultimately it's not carrots, and it's not apples, and it's not lemons, it's pure love of God, which can save you. So there are so many people who will try to sell their goods by in the guise of spirituality or something ultimate, but there is only one ultimate thing. This is pure love of God and complete surrender to Him.
So one last question.
Okay.
Bible says that we should not worship any idol. God hates idol worship because nobody has seen a God.
Yeah, once Prabhupada was, somebody told him that this argument that nobody has seen God, Prabhupada was very surprised. Said, so many people have seen God. How they can say this? If you didn't see God, it doesn't mean that nobody has seen God. Idol means, it's a complete misunderstanding. Idol means if you worship something which is not God as God. If you worship some, you know, like for example, idol worship, we're all prone to idol worship. People who worship like there is some people who worship Bollywood stars. What's this? Aishwarya Rai or something. Or whatever, I don't know them. Yeah, Amitabh Bachchan, yes. Everyone knows him. So this is idol worship. If you worship somebody who is not God as God, and you put all your energy, and there are so many people of this, you know, you go into their rooms and they have, you know, all their, you know, pictures and, you know, statues, and they do puja and this and that. This is idol worship. If you worship somebody who is, you know, separated of God as God, this is idol worship. But, you know, if you understand that God is everywhere, and if you worship manifestation of God, understanding His connection with God, or either understanding that God can manifest Himself anywhere, ultimately God is all-pervading. God is Vishnu, right? Vishnu means all-pervading. Vishate, he entered. The very word Vishnu means that He's everywhere, because He entered everything. He entered every atom, everywhere. He is Vishnu. So He can manifest Himself anywhere. If you understand this, this ability of God to enter anywhere and manifest Himself, and you worship God, ultimate reality, and you understand that He can manifest Himself anywhere, and you worship this as God, you know, it's not idol. This is total, complete misunderstanding. When people say that Vaishnavas worship idols, they don't understand what they worship. They worship God. And they know God is in everyone's heart, but they also know God has form. And they also know that so many people have seen this form. And they also know when you make this form of God and worship this form of God, understanding that God can manifest, God will take this form and use this form as the means of reciprocating with you. And moreover, this form, because it is based on the authoritative scriptures, this form also has some meaning. Like, there is a very interesting, and it's a real story. I recently was on the altar of our Mayapur temple. And as you know, in the altar of our Mayapur temple, there is a beautiful deities of Sisi Radha Madhava. So, and there is a process of manifesting the deities from the stone. What happened with Sisi Radha Madhava, one Stapati was manifesting the forms of Sisi Radha Madhava from the stone. Srila Prabhupada gave very specific, you know, how they should look like, what is the size and everything. So, and devotee, Prabhupada's disciple, who was in charge at that time, he looked at the form of Madhava, which was manifest by this Stapati. And he looked at him and he said, "You please take off one more layer, some fine polishing of this statue, you may say." So he did it. Somehow or other, he had this revelation in the heart or some vision or whatever. And the Stapati did it. And what happened when he did this final, last, polishing of the form of Madhava, two tilaks manifested in the Madhava's form. Madhava is black, and the white tilak on his forehead, one tilak on the forehead and another Brahmin's thread around his waist. And I saw it. It's a very clear, it's just exactly according to the form. The Brahmin's thread is there. So what do you say about this? This is form. Krishna manifested Himself completely through the means of this Stapati and through the means of this devotee who was doing this. So it's not idol worship. It's worship of God if we understand who is God. But if you don't understand who is God, if you don't understand the connection with this and you try to worship this form, that may be idol worship. That will become idol worship. Or if you worship somebody who is not God as God, then it will be idol worship. Okay, that's it. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. I hope everyone had enjoyed Maharaj has enlightened so much with everything and So we thank Maharaj by loudly chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
One more time, little louder.